Hello, and welcome to Hey, Have You Read This?, the weekly podcast where we discuss the latest books from the best writers. You're joined by Gold Coast-based publicist Hayley Savark and Madeline Ryan.
Hello.
Hello, Maddie. How are you?
Good. I'm great. How are you, Hayley?
Good. Yes, feeling very well. Had a bit of a busy week with working.
Yes.
And now I'm here recording the first podcast.
So today we are just going to be talking about the Hey, Have You Read This? Podcast, what we're going to be doing each week. And who we are as people. So, Hayley, what do you do?
What do I do? Well, for my day job, I work in marketing for a construction company, which is absolutely riveting. but
no hate to the construction industry.
Of course. It does pay the bills. But I also do a lot of writing. So I've been a freelance writer for a long time, on and off. Did some travel writing back in the day. Worked for different companies around Australia, and I've done a couple freelance pieces overseas, so back and forth. And I mean, at the end of the day, I really want to be an author, so I'm writing a fantasy trilogy at the moment, which is taking a long time,
which you still haven't let Maddie read.
But it's just like, oh, it's been in the process for over 10 years, so it's a bit of a time. But
yes, of course. Yes.
What do you do, Maddie?
Thank you for asking, Hayley. I am a literary publicist right now.
I love that you can
freelance.
Say
that. Freelance, not for like a big publisher or anything. Just working for myself. But I love it, basically. It's the best job ever. I was also working only like four or five months ago, I was working in marketing at a construction company as well, so I feel Hayley's pain. And I just quit my job because I didn't love it and it didn't spark joy. And I just wanted to work with books, and by some miracle, I managed to get like the dream job, at least the dream job to me. And yeah, it's amazing. I get to work from home. I get to work with some incredible authors. I get to meet some incredible people. It's just great.
I feel like you're now stepping into your creativity a lot, you know, now that you've let that go. And it's like, you know, that closing of a door and another one has opened now before you, you know what I mean? Because construction is very corporate and it can be very dry.
That's the thing. Yeah, I feel like we went from, well, I feel like we should say that we met in uni. Day one of uni, was it?
Yes, with Monique as well.
Yes, sure I feel like I remember us
with that professor that told us to take film studies.
What a lull. I feel like I remember walking into like a auditorium and being like, oh my god, just find someone sitting by themselves and just sit next to them.
Did we actually sit next to each other?
I can't remember.
Day?
Yeah, well, oh so I can't remember what order it was. It was either Monique, our other friend, was sitting down already. I sat down next to her, and then you sat down next to me. Or the other way around. You were sitting down, I sat down next to you, and then she sat down. And then we just stuck together, I guess, the next 3 years.
Like the little room where we all sat in and we were all asking questions. And all that.
Girl. Absolutely, we're very opinionated in that class. That was a good class, actually. But yeah, and so we met there and we bonded over the trauma of university education.
We studied the same degree, so we studied a Bachelor of Public Relations. I decided to go minor in sociology and I loved that, and Maddie went all over the place.
I did, which probably helped us become friends. I did sociology for one term. Hated it. Yeah. Well, I actually shouldn't say I hated it. It just wasn't for me. It was a bit too theory-based for me. A little bit too intense. I then went to creative writing. I was told to leave the course.
Hated that.
which is so funny because I just think, like, it's so... How do you judge someone's creative writing? How do you mark that at uni? I don't know.
Just to clarify it. You weren't told to leave. You were told not to write, basically, which is so nasty to say because it's such a child, you know, fragile thing to expose yourself in that way.
Absolutely,
and to be told that you weren't good enough.
Which is so ironic because all I do in PR is writing.
Yeah, that's so true. We write all the time.
Yeah, but yeah. So then I, after that little fiasco, I decided to go into marketing as my minor, which worked out to be great. It was really good. I'm really glad I have that background now in marketing, especially since I feel like there's so many more marketing jobs than there are public relations right now. But enough about how we met. Let's talk about books. So yes. Hayley, what do you think got you into reading? Was there a Ooh. Book? Was there a reason why you first picked up a book? Did you just see a certain book and you knew I wanted to start reading?
Well, I've always been a very imaginative person, and I grew up on a farm, so I was always out the back playing and thinking about different worlds and all of that. And there was a book that I had when I was little, and it was just this really old book that was my nana's, and it was a fairy tale book, and it had all these fairies and different kind of animals and creatures in it. And so I think that's kind of where it kind of started. And then I read a lot of picture books. I just really like, obviously that was a child element, but I think, you know, the one book that really sticks out to me is a series by Emily Rodder, who is an Australian author, called Del Toro Quest.
Oh.
Do you remember them?
No.
So in Australia, there's this thing called Scholastic. You've heard Scholastic.
Yes,
and they come around to your school and
you get the little brochure. And you come home and be like, Mom, I want everything. She'd be like, no.
Yeah. So that's how I discovered that book, and then that it was a whole series. I mean, they were really small books because it was junior fiction. But that was the one that really made me fall in love with not only reading but fantasy, because it was fantasy driven as well, and it was about these young kids, and like there was riddles in the books, and you had to figure out the riddles, and also Goosebumps, surprisingly.
Oh, yes,
because you
can
choose your own adventure.
I loved Goosebumps. Yes.
You could like go, okay, and then you walk down the hallway and then go to page 45.
Yes.
And then you read about
I
that.
I loved that.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, choose your own adventure. Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, what about you?
Goosebumps as well. Mine's a little bit embarrassing. So obviously, I read a lot of like picture books and stuff when I was a kid. Was always reading.
Mm.
I remember, so my dad for a little while, he had a photography studio, and underneath the studio there was a bookshop, and every day, well not every day, but like once a week, he would come home and he would bring me a Geronimo Stilton book.
What?
Do you remember Geronimo Stilton?
No, I do not.
It's really weird. And it was always like the writing, it had like little icons, like little emojis. So instead of saying like cheese, it would have a little logo of a cheese, a block of cheese.
Okay.
Like it was very
like interactive almost.
Yeah. It wasn't like they weren't big books, they were quite thin. Like they were very much like Goosebumps. Except they were just like adventures. Yeah, like you'd go to all these different places. Very cheese focused, obviously. He was a rat.
Was this late, like or early 2000s or something?
Yeah.
Nah, I'm older than Maddie, by the way.
But I was always so excited when Dad would bring home another Geronimo Stilton
that's
book.
So cute.
And then I feel like I stopped reading for a little while.
Yeah, I definitely had a break too.
Yeah, when I was in probably like middle school, high school, I took a bit of a break from reading after that. And then I think it was grade six, I was in the school library. And I remember being like, I want to start reading like big kid books.
Mm.
And I remember thinking like, I want to be a book reader. And then I remember walking around and I saw a book called The Valley of Secrets.
Okay.
By, I think it's Charmaine Hussey.
Right.
Okay. And it's a fairly chunky book. Like I'm actually surprised that I read it when I was in grade six. But I loved it. Like, I was obsessed with this book. I got it out every single week from the library. I was probably the only person who read this book at the school. Like, there were so many other books to choose from. it was about this boy who's an orphan. And basically one day he just gets, like, a letter. And he has to travel to Cornwall. And he inherits this massive estate, like this huge property. But he's not necessarily alone in this house. But it's honestly, it was the imagery that got it for me. Like I wanted to go to Cornwall.
Yeah.
And, at one point he's like riding through the town on his bike and it's just beautiful. It was a beautiful book. It was a comfort book. Just one of those books that you pick up and it doesn't even matter if it's necessarily a good story.
Yeah.
It just makes you feel warm and cozy. And so I feel like that was definitely
what triggered my love of books. Like, yeah. I can definitely pinpoint it to that. And yeah, from that point on, it's just been book after book affair, after book.
Yeah, yeah.
A love affair.
A love affair.
Trying to read books faster than I buy them.
Yeah, yeah, that's, I
definitely
know.
Have a big problem with that.
I think that's like the biggest thing that gets me, which is why I always gravitate towards fantasy a lot as a genre, because it's a very visual storyline.
Yes, lots of descriptions.
Yeah, lots of descriptions. And it can be overwhelming, really... but...
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Like really overwhelming for people.
Absolutely.
But... you've triggered like a memory for me as well, as like there was an author called Isabel Cassidy who wrote these amazing, they were huge, huge books, but it's so visual, so different, because at the time when I was growing up, there wasn't a lot of really strong feminine women in fantasy particularly. And so she really wrote about that sometimes. And with me, like I grew up in the Harry Potter boom.
Yes.
You know, and I remember lining up and like to get the next book, and we would stay up, you know, all night reading it, because if we didn't, then the next day someone would spoil it at school. So you had to stay up and read it under the covers type thing so that it wasn't spoiled. And I feel like it makes me really sad sometimes, because I don't think that will ever happen again. Like, I think Harry Potter was in its own realm, and it came out in the infancy of the internet, so people weren't addicted to TikTok and Instagram.
Yes.
And there's still a big readership now, I think. You know, I think reading has resurging a lot, but
especially with lockdowns.
Yeah, yeah.
What else are people going to do?
There's
so many shows on Netflix.
Exactly.
That you can binge.
And young adult is definitely something that has stayed around, you know, stood the test of time. So that's good. But yeah, I think we won't probably see that again with a book. Like, Harry Potter is its own entity in that way.
Yes.
You know?
And speaking of fantasy novels, so you obviously, fantasy is a special place in your heart.
Oh, very much.
You would probably say that that's your favorite genre.
I would say so. I mean, I gravitate towards that the most because of the visual element that it brings. I think that specifically though, I like fantasy with romance in it.
Mm-hmm.
So a character has to kind of get me in that way. So I kind of gravitate towards romance fantasy in a way. But I do really enjoy the plot and the world building. And I also know, because I'm writing my own fantasy, I know how much energy goes into a project like that. And so when I read these books, like I'm currently reading Priory of the Orange Tree by Samantha Shannon, which is huge. And I'm just amazed. And I'm reading it going, how did she do this?
Like, yeah, I guess you have a very unique perspective there, because you can appreciate the amount of work that goes into writing a book like that, especially a fantasy.
Especially absolutely. Fantasy. Yeah. So I don't really gravitate towards contemporary fiction or any other like thrillers or anything like that. I do enjoy them sometimes, like if it's a good book, of course I'm gonna enjoy it, but I definitely feel right at home with fantasy. And I do like self-help. I think we all do in a way, because it's a self-development, you know, like you always want to be a better person.
See, I would actually say that that's probably my least favorite.
Oh, how interesting.
I think it's because I just don't like people telling me what to do.
Yeah, yeah, you are a bit of a rat bag.
I just feel it has to be a really good book. Otherwise, like, I don't want to listen to someone going on about like everything they've learned in their lives and how I can fix my life, which I know is very bad.
Well, but what about like information, like, you know, like if something was about a particular topic like climate change or something, would that
sure. And like you know, I also think like racism, there's a lot of books, especially in Australia, coming out right now about that. It's just not necessarily a genre that I would like to read, but I do think that there are a lot of important topics that are discussed in those nonfiction books.
Yeah.
And therefore, like, I obviously read them and I do enjoy them. I just wouldn't, like, you know, you wouldn't find me lounging on a Sunday afternoon diving into a very heavy
topic
or like a personal development book. I much prefer just to get swept away in like a
totally agree.
A general fiction, which is, that's my favorite genre is probably general fiction. I just like getting swept up in a story. But I have been diving into a bit of fantasy, dabbling in that, which I know you're happy about.
Yes, I am.
Finally. And I do really like it. I just don't think I could handle a epic fantasy at this point.
No, I think you need to have diet fantasy first.
Yes.
And then
yes.
move to it. Yeah.
Diet fantasy. I'm still on my training wheels when it comes to fantasy reading.
I agree with you, though. I think heavy books have a time and a place, and I do enjoy reading them to some extent. Like Jordan Peterson really challenges me, for example.
Yeah.
But his books are really heavy, and I disagree with some of the things he says sometimes, and things like that. You know, I think that's pretty normal. And I much prefer the escapism of, you know, going into a book that I can just be like, this is the world I'm in. It's the same with video games. I love playing video games to escape. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I thought another topic we could talk about was favorite book to movie or TV show adaptations. Do you have any that come to
so
mind?
I have one book and one TV adaptation that I loved. So the movie, I loved The Book Thief.
Oh my God.
Yes. And I loved the adaptation from the book to
film. So did I.
The Book Thief has been, it's in my top five reads like ever. I love The Book Thief. I love the perspective from death. At the time that I read it, which was in like high school, I felt like it was very different to anything I'd ever read before. I love the movie. The movie was great. And then for the TV, I've got to go with Normal People by Sally Rooney.
Okay, I haven't read that book. So,
Hayley, what are you doing?
I don't read contemporary.
Okay, so it's a frustrating read. It's like two people who cannot communicate effectively.
Is that okay? The cover's kind of coming to mind. Is it like a sardine can or something opening? Okay,
yes. And there's like people
in the sardine can.
Yes, it's so good though.
Okay,
and it's not a big book. It's an easy read.
Yeah,
you will get sucked into it. It's based in Ireland. You will get sucked into it. And
is it kind of like Rainbow Powell? Do you know her books? She like Eleanor and Park, and she wrote like Fangirl.
I would say they're a little bit more. I would say this one's a little bit heavier than that. It talks a lot about like I don't know. It talks a lot about depression and it's very much about like right people, wrong time.
Oh, okay. That
constantly
might be
teary.
Constantly
throughout the whole thing. And you just want to scream at the book, like, just tell her how you feel or tell him how you feel. But you can't. But I also think that's...
Did it come out on Netflix, the TV show?
I think it's on Stan?
Oh, okay. One of the streaming platforms.
It's on one of the streaming... It's not Netflix. It's definitely one of the others. I want to say it's Stan because I think it's originally a Hulu.
And
I think that goes on to Stan. But yeah, it's like a 6-part series, I think.
Okay.
Pretty short and sweet, and it's so good and the acting is so good.
Okay.
It's great.
Is there any though movie TV adaptations that are just like, oh my god, why did they do that? It's terrible.
I don't know, actually. I don't know. I can't think off the top of my head. There definitely would be though. I feel like it's very
for you. Well, maybe I'll say mine, and then maybe you'll be sparked. Okay, so for me, I'm going to say worst because I'm automatically a pessimist. So we're just going to go roll with that. So there was a book called Eragon, the Inheritance Trilogy is what it's called. Now, Disney has recently acquired the rights for this, so hopefully we will see this change, you know, become a bit more. The original movie was terrible, shocking. Like, Saphira the dragon grew up in a flash of lightning. I mean, people know this. Like, whoever's read the book and saw the movie adaptation were just like, oh my god, this is fucking terrible. This is so bad. TV show wise, I don't really have one though, to be honest, because I haven't really seen many book adaptations to TV shows that have been really bad, because I think when it's a TV show, you're able to really draw out a lot of the scenes.
Yes.
You know, so like you can't mess up basically, you know. Favorites though, I mean, Little Fires Everywhere was phenomenal. I thought that was really well done. I really liked the other one with Reese Witherspoon that she did, but it wasn't like an abusive. Big Little Lies. That was really good as well.
Loved that.
Fantastic. And I think, like, you know, Red Gone Girl as well, and that mm-hmm. movie was really good. Mm-hmm. I did it backwards, so I watched the movie first and then read the book. Yes.
Which sometimes I enjoy doing that, actually. Yeah. I know a lot of people are like, oh my God, you have to read the book first. But I like, if it's good casting, I like knowing what the characters are going to look
yes,
like.
Same.
And then it's easier when you read the book. Yeah. You already know what they look like in your head.
Yeah.
Rather than if you've kind of created this character inside your head and then it gets cast in a TV show or movie and it doesn't look anything like how you imagined it.
Envisaged it.
I feel like there's, you know, like it's hard to kind of get swept
I agree.
Up in the story again.
Yeah. I think, and you know, like The Witcher is very near and dear to my heart because I played the games and then I read the book. Yes. So I did this. The books were very epic, high fantasy. So I had the background of the games, thank God. Otherwise, I wouldn't understand. But the TV show was executed perfectly. It was a bit confusing, I think, for people who probably didn't know. It was confusing for me even. But I was so nervous about Geralt being cast, and then Henry Cavill got it, and Henry Cavill is my man.
So, What a man.
So he's perfect. Oh, my God, he's perfect for that role. So I was just like, okay, calm down. It's fine.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think, TV, I think we're seeing more and more. Like Game of Thrones was perfect except for the ending.
Yes.
But, you know, I think we're seeing more and more that TV, some books need to become TV shows to be done properly. Shadow and Bone, you know.
Absolutely.
Come out. Yeah.
I also think special mention should go to Where the Crawdads Sing, which is getting made into a book currently. It's in, I think they just wrapped production.
Yeah.
Like a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for
that. Yeah. Oh,
I'm
also
really excited.
I also want to talk briefly just about Lord of the Rings. Now, I really struggled reading this because this is like huge epic fantasy, too much description. However, those movies are perfect. Perfect in every single way.
Yes.
And
is that purely because of Orlando Bloom?
Well, actually, Viggo Mortensen was my man.
Oh,
they,
I can see that.
Yeah.
I like the dark scruff, and broody.
Like sitting in the corner with a cigarette. I'm like, who's this? Who is this? So, yeah, Lord of the Rings for me is like that. That's done so well. Peter Jackson did amazing with that. But that's been currently being made into a TV show by Hulu. That was so loud on the computer. That's becoming running into a TV show, so hopefully, fingers crossed, that will be good. But I'm very nervous.
I hope so.
Yeah.
So now we're coming to the end of the episode. I think the best way to end this would be to tell everyone what is on your to be read list.
Okay, mine is huge. do you want me to
go first?
Or
you
go first? Okay.
You need to get like a scroll.
All right.
With...
I'm not going to say all of them. I'm just going to go top four. Okay, so you go first.
Okay, well, look, so my first one is Malibu Rising by Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Yes.
For obvious reasons, I feel like I don't even need to explain this one.
Yeah, well,
I'm excited to
maybe
read
just
it.
Seven Husbands, like explain.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, she's the author of Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo and also Daisy Jones and the Six, which are two of my favorite books. They're just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I have no doubt that this one is going to be amazing. Read reviews. Sounds like it's going to be incredible. I also want to read People We Meet on Vacation by Emily Henry.
Yes, okay.
I've been seeing this everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, like, by the sounds of it, it just sounds like a really nice, easy read. Kind of like a Taylor Jenkins.
So like a Sunday.
Yes.
You know.
That's how I describe my books.
Yeah,
like it's like a Sunday
this
afternoon.
This is a Sunday read.
This isn't like a Monday night read, no. This is purely a Sunday afternoon read. I also just finished reading The Six of Crows.
Yes.
By Leigh Bardugo. Mm-hmm. And so you bet I want to jump right in to the sequel.
Crooked Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okie dokie. I did that on purpose to make Maddie laugh. So that brings us to the end of the show.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. And join us next week as we discuss The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue by V.E. Schwab.
Yes, our first book review.
I know,
We're
I'm excited.
To jump into it.
Yes.
We'll see you all there.
Bye.
Bye.